Good evening, everybody. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, we read about the death of Rachel Imenu, and the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu chooses to bury Rachel Imenu on the side of the highway. The Pasuk says, Vatamas Rachel passes away, Vatikavar Baderech Efrasa Hibeis Lachem, and Yaakov Avinu buries her right there on the derech, on the road. He doesn't even enter into the city to bury her like any other regular person would have been buried. So the Medrash there, as quoted by Rashi, writes, that what kind of respectful way is this to treat his wife? How could it be? Yaakov Avinu, this is at the end of her life. This is what he does to her. He just leaves her on the side of the road. Says the Medrash, no. He doesn't bring her into the city. I know, said Yaakov Avinu, that you're going to have questions about why I did this. You're going to have complaints about why it is that I did this. Yaakov Avinu says you should know. I did this because this is what God told me to do. God said, don't bring her into the city. It's better that you should leave her out here and bury her on the road. Why? In order that later on in future generations, she will be there to help out her children as they are being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they're going to be passing by her keber, Rashi says, and then they're going to ask Rachel Imenu to intercede on their behalf. And as we know, the Pasuk says, Kol b'rama nishma, and then Rachel Imenu's tefillos are going to be answered, v'shavu banim l'gvulam. Says the Medrash, that's why Yaakov Avinu chooses to bury her on the side of the road in order that we should be able to use her later on in future generations. We find a very similar idea. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Dalet talks about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Bach there on the side of the page adds what he thinks was left out of the regular story that the Gemara has. So you look it up. And the Bach there adds a whole paragraph, and he says, why is it? Mipnei ma nistater kivro shel Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is it that lo yada ish es kvuraso? How come God didn't tell us where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried? We know where everyone else is buried. We know the Rambam, where he's buried. We know everybody else. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the only one, we're not allowed to know where he's buried? So the Gemara says, Mipnei shegoli v'yadua lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because God knew. God knew there was going to come a time when the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed and that we would be thrown out of the land of Eretz Yisrael, and he was concerned with the following. Maybe at that time, when we have that terrible decree that we're going to be exiled from our land, maybe we're going to come and visit the burial plot of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then what? And then we're going to sit there and cry. And we're going to call out to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, do something for us. Moshe Rabbeinu, amod b'tfila ba'adeinu. We want you to do something on our behalf that we should be able to stay in the land of Israel, that the Beis Hamikdash should not be destroyed. Ve'omid Moshe mevatel es hagzeira. And that is going to be such a powerful tfila, such a powerful experience between the Jewish people and Moshe Rabbeinu. God is not going to be able to exile the Jewish people. God won't be able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's burial plot had to be hidden. Because if we knew where it was, we would have been able to stop all of these terrible tragedies that we're experiencing now and that we've experienced throughout all the generations. So this is why the Ramah writes that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on Erev Yom Kippur, we have this minhag, we have a practice that we go and we visit the cemetery in order that we should somehow ask that the schus of the tzaddikim should be held for us as a schus on our Yom Adin, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, and it should stand for us to have a better year. So the Ran writes in his drushes, the Ran says that he feels that it's a very special place to daven by a burial plot, by some place where our ancestor is found to be buried. That's something we should take very seriously. It's not to be taken lightly. In fact, the Vilna Gaon writes in one of his svarim, very interestingly, he says, Bizman she'ein tzaddikim midor. If you live in a generation where you don't have such unbelievable tzaddikim as we had in the days of the Tanoim Amoraim, Ve'ein motzeh hashchina makam lanuach, and God is somehow hovering around the world trying to find a resting place for himself, as it would be. So the Vilna Gaon says, Oz hu shora al tzaddikim yishenei afar. If God can't find the right place by a specific tzaddik or tzidkanius in our generation, so then he goes to the old tzaddikim from the old generations, and he hangs out, he hovers over the kvarim, he hovers over the graves of the old tzaddikim that were from the days of yore. And he doesn't give his shechina to tzaddikim of our generations. An incredible statement made by the Vilna Gaon. However, even though it's a nice thing to do, even though we have the Gemara that says by Rachel Imenu, and we have the Gemara by Moshe Rabbeinu as well, still we have to be cognizant of the following caveat. And that is the Berhetev writes, in the name of the Maharil, that one has to be very careful when going to visit the burial plot of an ancestor or of any tzaddik for that matter. You're not allowed to put your faith or your trust in the person who passed away, in the deceased. You're not allowed to ask them to intercede and do something on your behalf. Why? Because we know the Rambam says, for those who say the Ani Mamans every day, one of the 13 principles of faith that the Rambam spells out for us is, Lo levada roi lispalel. We are only supposed to put our faith in God Himself. We should not put our faith in anybody else, in any other being. And therefore, the Rambam tells us, when you have an issue, you go speak to God Himself. In fact, the Yerushalmi writes very fascinating statement. The Yerushalmi says, when I have a court case, a basar v'dam, a regular person is summoned to court for whatever reason. So he's nervous and you're not sure exactly if you know how to present your case well. You don't know how to really talk the language of a judge. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to represent myself. So what do? I hire the best lawyer I can get, the best lawyer I can afford, and I know that they're going to present my case in a much better fashion than I'll present on my own. However, says the Yerushalmi, Abel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. When it comes to God, if you're having a hard time, it doesn't work that way. If you're summoned to court for whatever reason, if you think God has some issue that He has to work out with you, in Baal Adam Tzara, if you have an issue with God or He has an issue with you and now you have to figure it out, Lo Yitzaveach, Lo Lemichal, V'lo LeGavriel. Says the Yerushalmi, don't think of calling out to this Malach or to that Malach. What do you mean? I'm not going to call it to the Malachim? Do you know who the Malachim are? Gavriel, Michael, you're not going to call out to them, says the Medrash, no. I'm sorry, the Yerushalmi. Elali Yitzaveach. God says, call out to me. Va'ani ona lo miyad. I will answer you right away. There's no reason to hire a lawyer. There's no reason to present your case in front of anybody else. I can listen to you on my own, like the Pasuk says, Kal asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimaleit. He who cries out to God directly will be saved. Will be saved. Now, sometimes it doesn't mean we get the answer that we were looking for, but it means that God is listening to us and He will give us an answer. And certainly at troubling times like we're living in now, it's a time for us to think about how much are we really deeply connecting with God Himself? And how much do we use the opportunity of our Shemona Esrei every day when we have that close encounter with God, when He's willing to listen to us and we shouldn't be turning to Michal, to Gabriel, to our ancestors, to this one, to that one? That's not what it's about. The Yerushalmi says, if we call out to Him, Li Yitzaveach, call out to me, Vani en Alomiyad, I will answer you right away. There's no reason to look for other venues. There's no reason to look for intermediaries, for lawyers. We can present our story, we can present our questions and our comments to God Himself. There's no reason to get anyone else involved. So the Chassam Sofer writes, why is this the case? Chassam Sofer quotes from the Maharal, surprisingly, and he says the reason why is because we are even greater than the Malachim. Why would you hire a lawyer? Let's say I'm a top-notch lawyer, and now I'm being summoned to court. I'll represent myself. Why would I hire a first-year intern to go and represent me when he doesn't know what he's doing? I'm much more experienced. Says the Chassam Sofer in the name of the Maharal Prague, we are more profound than the Malachim are. We're closer to God than the Malachim are. We have an open opportunity to talk to God, something that the Malachim don't have. And therefore he says, why would you go hire a first-year intern instead of communicating with God on your own? That's the way he explains it, and he says, if you feel that that's not good enough, then he says you're perhaps someone who has a katnus ha'emuna. You don't believe in yourself. That's the problem. If you think you need to cry out to others, and you can't talk to God in direct communication, it means you're katane amana, you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe how much God loves you. You don't believe how much He wants to hear from you. And that, says the Maharal, is why it's different when it comes to a court case in this world, and when it comes to an issue that we have, so to speak, with God, or a question that we're faced with. And therefore the Shach writes that he's very concerned when we go to a Beis HaKvaros, and sometimes people show up to a grave of an ancestor and they start to ask the ancestor to intercede on their behalf. And you say by Leviah very often, we ask that the Nifter should do this and this on our behalf. That's not something that's appropriate. Says the Shach, we have an Isser in the Torah called Dorish El HaMesim, which simply means you're not allowed to use the spirit of the mace, the spirit of the dead person, and try to bring back some sort of black magic and try to have them come to you in a dream. But the Shach says we have to take it further also and say that we have to be careful not to ever pray to a Nifter either. We can ask a person who has passed away, it doesn't matter how much we love them and how much they loved us, we can ask them to intercede on our behalf. That, says the Shach, is something we have to be very careful about when we go and we visit a seminary. It's for this, a cemetery. It's for this reason that the Maharal also had an objection to the recitation of Machnisei Rachamim and Slichos, because again, What do we ask? We're imploring the Malachim to go ahead and intercede on our behalf and ask God for Rachmanis, and that's not something that we should be saying. And that's why the Maharal took out all of those paragraphs and slichos in which we communicate with Malachim, because it's not proper to ask them to do it for us. Again, if you're going to go to a cemetery, the Shach writes what you should do is, you should pray. It's a very special, auspicious time to pray. However, you should pray that God should save you because of all of the schusim of the person who has passed away. Because your ancestor, because your parent, because this tzaddik was such a great person, and because of the great merit that they had in their life, you're asking God to give a little bit of extra schusim to you. But not that you should pray to them, that they should help you. This is also why there was an objection. The Vilna Gaon and others took out from Shalom Aleichem every Friday night. They said, you shouldn't say Baruchuni L'Shalom. What are you asking for? You ask the Malachim to give you a blessing. Malachim can't give you a blessing. Malachim can't intercede on your behalf. You should be the one asking God directly for a blessing. So this is a very rich topic. And in fact, the Yavitz, who was the son of the Chacham Tzvi, writes that his father didn't know where all this came from. His father never used to recite any of these paragraphs before reciting Kiddush on a Friday night. And so this is something which is up to a lot of debate. Is it proper or improper to say all these different paragraphs of Machnisei Rachamim, of Baruchuni L'Shalom, be it as it may? The prevalent practice is that you say those. You have to have an understanding as to why. But the more important thing is when we talk about the kever, the kvura of Rachel Imenu, and we understand that the Medrash says it's a place for us to go and daven. It's just to keep in mind, when we go and we daven by kever Avos, when we go and we daven by our ancestors, by kever Rachel, by Maris HaMachpelah, by all these special places, we should never make the mistake and daven to the mace itself. Rather, we should just ask God to give us chesed, to grant us kindness, and to answer our questions and our requests on behalf of the schus that the nifter accrued throughout their life. Reb Chananya Menachashe Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu.